Hi there, welcome to Shiloh Tabernacle London. We're located in Southeast London in Woolwich Dockyard, Block 1, Unit 9, Dockyard Industrial Estate, Woolwich Church Street, SC18 5PQ. Join us for our Bible study every Friday from 7:30 to 9 p.m. And you can't miss our Sunday services packed with prayer, vibrant worship and a powerful word. First service is 9 a.m. to 10:30, followed by our family service from 10:30 to 12:30. And now, for the best part, let's get into the Word.
Father, we pray that King of Kings, the entrance of your Word will bring light. Enlighten us. May we know you more than when we entered or when we started this service today. Father God of glory, I pray for your grace. I pray for your anointing. I pray that King of Kings, your grace and mercy shall fall upon me, take over my tongue, my intellect, and Father Lord, bring your word, King of Kings, O Father, unfettered in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Give us the ear to hear, my Father Lord, that King of Kings, we may just not be hearers, but also be doers of your word in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Father, we cancel every plan of the enemy. Every plan of the enemy that comes to distort the word, that come to interrupt, that come, King of Kings, to cause us to generalize, we break them in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And Father, we proclaim that our hearts are open to hear from you, Lord. We give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. And somebody shouts amen and amen and amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, if you noticed quite well, we are at the end of November. This is the last week, this last Sunday in November 2020. Can you believe it, that you are just on the cusp of crossing into December 2020? My God, we need to thank God. And that's why next Sunday, we have designated next Sunday to be our Thanksgiving Sunday. Next Sunday will be our Thanksgiving Sunday. Every year, at the end of the year, at the end of the last Sunday in November is our Thanksgiving Sunday, and that coincides usually with our celebration of our church anniversary. And because of the pandemic and all that, we couldn't do it, but we still thank God because we are now eight. Hallelujah. We thank God for his providence and want to thank God for every single one of you. Every single one of you. It is because of you that we are still here. It is because of you that we are still running. Thank you so very much for standing. We thank the Lord for your life. We bless you for your family. We bless all Mandele Bosaka. May the Lord continually bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. So when you look back, when I look back, this year, when it started, we had many plans. You had many plans, but they have been disrupted. They were disrupted by the pandemic. Corona, COVID-19. Can you imagine we are ending 2020, but we are still, you know, suffering the repercussions of 2019. But we thank God that we are still alive. That's why we need to thank God. That's why we're taking a time on the 6th of December to appreciate God for life, for keeping you and your family. I know some of us have lost friends and lost relatives. It's a hard moment. Some of us have lost our jobs and you're asking yourself, why should I thank God? I understand. But the Bible tells us that we should thank God when? In all circumstances. The very fact that you are still alive, my friend, is enough for you to thank God. So prepare yourselves. Next Sunday we'll be thanking God together. And we thank God that we are coming to the end of the lockdown as well. The lockdown is ending. Next week it will be lifted so that we can come back and worship in person for those of you who can. But we continue to remain vigilant because COVID is still at large. Although we have got light at the end of the tunnel, they say there are some vaccines, we still need to be vigilant because by the time they get to the common man, they get to every one of us, it will be maybe mid next year or whatever. So let's continue to be vigilant. putting on your masks, social distancing, washing your hands regularly. Remain vigilant wherever you are. Hallelujah. Because they lift up, because they're going to lift up the lockdown, doesn't mean that we should unleash ourselves and and go all over the place, you know, as though everything is okay. No, we need to remain vigilant. Hallelujah. Amen. That said, let's enter into the word of the Lord. Are you ready to receive from God? Hallelujah. This afternoon, I want to speak from a subject I've called the armor of light. The armor of light. Hallelujah. As we end November, we start a period called Advent. We start a period called Advent. The root word for the word Advent means coming. We start a season where Christians wait for the coming of the Lord. Coming of the Lord. You know, we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that refers to his incarnation from heaven into our physical body. That's the season of Advent in which we are entering right now. It designates a period before Christmas where Christians prepare for the celebration of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. We thank God that he dispatched himself and so loved the world that he sent himself, and that you and I may be saved, you and I may be delivered. Hallelujah. He came as light in the darkness. He came to light your darkness, and that's what we're talking about this afternoon, the armor of light. The Bible says, in the beginning, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created bara. That word bara means creating, making something out of nothing. He created, made everything out of nothing. He did not need any raw materials. Hallelujah. The heavens and earth he created. And verse 2 says, the earth was without form and void, empty. And the darkness was over the face of the deep. Darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord was hovering over the face of the earth. Mark that word. Darkness covered the earth. And there was chaos. When you look at this verse number 2, it looks like chaotic. There's too much chaos in verse 2. Too much chaos in verse 2. Without form? Void? Empty? Darkness? That to me does not look like the work of God. I don't think our God is an author of darkness, is an author of chaos. Hallelujah. Such conditions, I don't think, would be a result of God's creative work of the bara of God. Rather, as in the Bible, it's symptomatic of sin and the condition with judgment. Why is it like that? Why is it like that? Some scholars say it's because Lucifer had already fallen with his angels and they messed it up. So they say that when God created, he created earth proper. It was good. But when he sent, when you remember how the devil, you know, rebelled in heaven, when he was pushed out, that is, we find that in Romans and Revelation chapter 12, verse 7 to 12. The Bible says, in Revelation chapter 7, verse 12, the Bible says, and a war broke out in heaven. There was a war in heaven. Michael and his angels, they fought with the dragon. And the dragon and his angels fought. Michael fought, and the dragon and his angels fought. It was a battle. But they did not prevail. Nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So what happened? So, verse 9, the great dragon was cast out. It was cast out. That serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, Satan, who deceives the whole world, he was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So there are some Bible scholars who espouse a gap between verse 1 and verse 2. and they place this scripture in there, saying, you know, God did not create chaos. Chaos was created because of the fallen angels. And they say that because of that, because the devil was thrown out of heaven, he lashed out on earth and disorganized it. He disorganized it. That is gap theory. Whatever happened, we know that there was darkness. And darkness was not good. Hallelujah. So in verse 3, we see God rearranging this mess. He sets in with his word and rearranges this mess. In verse 3, he says, let there be light. Let there be what? Light. The first thing that God created, that he spoke first, was let there be light. Why? Because he is light. God is light. His first creative word was light. It produced light. The darkness disappeared. Said, let there be light. Just spoke it and there was light. He did not have to go to look for raw materials. You see, the light that God spoke about was not the sun, because the sun is created later on. The sun is not the source of light. God is the source of light. Let there be light, because he is light. That is the essence of who he is. It's like if you say the water, the sky is blue. It is blue because it's the essence of it. The color is blue. That's what it is. That's who God is. So wherever God goes, darkness cannot stand. Wherever God goes, darkness cannot stand. Even in that situation where there is darkness in your life, God is coming through right now for you. And that darkness cannot stand any longer, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Let there be light. Light dispelled the darkness. Light dispels darkness. In the Bible, light and darkness are symbolic of good and evil, respectively. Light is a symbol of good. Darkness is a symbol of evil. So in other words, he was saying, let there be goodness. And that's why he says, when he looked at it, he said, it was good. And when he saw the light, he says, it what? It was good. Even God, the source of light, light himself, when he looked at the light, he said, it what? It was good. Because it divided the light from the darkness. Divided the light from the darkness. Here God began his work, which will culminate in the age to come when there will be no darkness at all. There's a time when there will be no darkness at all. At all, at all. Revelation chapter 25 verse 5 says, and the night will be no more. A time is going to come when there will be no night anymore. No darkness. He says, they will need no light of a lamp or a sun. We will not need these bulbs that, you know, Thomas Edison spent ages trying to discover and make. Even the sun will be irrelevant. Why? Because the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever. That period is coming. Hallelujah. When he comes back, he's going to come back in glory. Hallelujah. We will not need no lamp, we will not need no sun, because our God will be our light. In heaven, he will be our light. When he comes back, when he comes back to declare, you know, a rule of paradise, 1,000 years on earth, he will be our light. Hallelujah. Let there be what? Light. And the light was gone. But then something happened in Genesis chapter 3. The earth was again plunged into a more consequential darkness. This time not a physical darkness, but a spiritual one. A spiritual darkness. This is when Satan succeeds in accessing man's heart. Whenever the devil accesses a man's heart, he brings darkness. Hallelujah. Because he is all about darkness. His works are darkness. He capitalizes on the desires of the flesh when he's about to enter a man. That is why every man has got to have an armor around him, so much so that the devil cannot access his inner man. And we know that Adam and Eve let down their guard. They let down their guard because he capitalized on the desires of the flesh. He capitalized on it. The Bible says, and when he showed the woman the fruit, the Bible says, when she saw with her own eyes that it was desirable to have, desirable to eat, it was her own eyes, and desirable for food, she took and ate. She let down her guard. And the Bible says she turned around and gave to her husband, Adam, who was with her. Darkness crept in. In that very moment, as they took the fruit, they were stripped of the essence of the glory of God. The glory of God that came with that light when he said, "Let there be light." And that's why, my friend, they hid themselves from him when he came into the garden, because they were in darkness. His light was too much for them. They had to hide. The devil had stripped them of the glory of light and made them darkness itself. He took away the light. That's what he does. You know, the Bible, the word of God is the light. As they say, the entrance of God's word brings what? Light. It illuminates us. And what the devil wants to do all the time is to take away this light so that he can replace it with darkness. And this is what happened in the Garden of Eden. God had given Adam a word. You can touch all the other fruits but or trees, but on this one do not touch. That was the word. But guess what? The enemy comes with darkness and removes the light of the word and replaces it with something else. The moment we start to doubt the word of God, that is darkness coming in. The moment we start questioning the word of God, that is darkness coming in, and that's not from God. That's from the enemy. Darkness entered. Spiritual darkness entered man. And he became darkness. Hallelujah. He became darkness itself. So when God walks into the garden, God, the essence of light, coming to fellowship with them, they cannot stand the light. So they go into hiding. And they say, "We are naked." You know, when you are stripped of the light, it's like you are naked. The armor is gone and you are naked. They could not stand him. Say, "Who told you were naked? Did you touch what I told you? Did you switch the word? Did you keep the word?" No. That means you did not keep the word. That's why you are naked. And the Bible says he cast them out of his presence. Cast them out of his presence. Ladies and gentlemen, that is what the enemy is looking for, to extinguish the light in you. The light inside you, in your heart, so that he can strip you and I of the glorious garment of light. So he can turn us into darkness. But in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, we refuse. In Jesus' mighty name, we refuse, we refuse, we refuse. Hallelujah. Fast forward, Jesus comes onto the scene. Thank God for the season of Advent. Thank God for Christmas. Jesus came to turn that situation around. Hallelujah. He came to turn. Now, in the beginning, we read that God spoke. He said, "Let there be" what? Light. That was the word, the spoken word. Hallelujah. The spoken word illuminates a dark area or a dark person. But in this portion, in the New Testament, Jesus comes as the living word. Hallelujah. He comes as the living word to dispel the spiritual darkness that had engulfed the universe. He comes as a light. He comes as the light. John chapter 1 verse 4, the Bible says, in him was life. In him was life. In the beginning, when the devil snatched the darkness out of man, when he took the light out of man, what happened? The Bible says death crept in. Death crept in. Do you know why? Because everything, every living thing will die without light. That's why God had to create light first. That's why he could not create the plants first. Because the plants cannot exist without light. You need light. I need light. That was the paramount importance, that he started with light. Now, when light was snatched out of us, when light was snatched out of man, death crept in. Spiritual death crept in. So now, in the coming of Jesus Christ comes with life. He comes as the living Word. And the Word became flesh. The Word that was in the beginning becomes flesh. And he comes with life. He comes to take away the death that crept in Genesis chapter 3. The Bible says in John 1:4, in him was life. He was life. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, continues, and the life was the light of men. That life is light. Without that life, you are in darkness, my friend. Hallelujah. In him was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. He becomes the physical word. He becomes the Word in flesh. Hallelujah. And in essence, he's saying, let there be light again. Christmas says, let there be light. We celebrate Christmas because it brings light. It's God saying, let there be light again. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus comes with life. Zoe. John chapter 5 verse 26 says, let's begin from verse 25. John chapter 5 verse 25 says, truly, truly I say to you, this is Jesus Christ saying, an hour is coming. And then he says, and it is now here, when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who will hear will live. Those who will do what? Those who will hear will live. Because many have not heard. Many are still not hearing. They think this is a joke. But they have a surprise waiting for them if they do not hear. It says, those who will hear will live. In other words, those who do not hear will die. Spiritual death is what we are talking about here. Verse 26, it says, for as the Father has life in himself, as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. So in him is life. He came to bring life. Jesus, the living Word, came to dispel the death that had come as a consequence of losing the light. In him was life, and he was the light of men. John chapter 1 verse 5 says that light shines in the darkness. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness cannot overcome it. This light that is shining upon us from Christ, in the beginning it was quenched by the enemy, but this one is unquenchable. This one cannot be taken out. The darkness cannot comprehend it. So he came to dispel both death and darkness. Hallelujah. He dispelled the darkness and the chaos that was unleashed by the devil on earth. But this time, he comes with the light which the devil cannot stand and therefore has to flee. He has to flee. Jesus, my friend, is the true light. He is the true light. There are many lights, but he is the true light. The only light that illuminates man's heart. I'm not talking about these lights. I'm not talking about man, my friend. The man is enlightened. A man changes. A man's thinking changes. A man's way of walk changes. A man's manner of speech changes because a light has shone into the darkness. And the darkness cannot hold it, cannot contain it. He is the true light. Thank God he is in your heart. John chapter 1 verse 9 says, the true light which gives light to some people, no. The true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Hallelujah. It was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And the world was made through him. And the world did not know him. But yet he had come. This light, to see this light, it takes a different set of eyes. This light is not seen physically. It is seen spiritually. The things of God are not physically, they are spiritually discerned. The light I'm talking about is not the sun. Because the sun, one day it will shut down. Hebrews chapter 1 verse 3. The Bible says about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the living Word. He says he is the radiance of the glory of God. He is the radiance of the glory of God. Remember we said God is what? God is light. The Bible says God is light. So Jesus Christ is the radiance. He radiates the light of God. And he's the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. Not the power of his word, but the word of his power. Mande rebrosataya bosha. He is the radiance of the glory of God, the kabod of God. When the light of God is upon a man, you see he becomes glorious. You see a kabod on him. The kabod of, I'm not talking about the kabod of the things of the world. I'm talking about the kabod of God. The glory of God. There are men deep down in the villages who do not own cars, who do not own jets, but the glory of God sits upon them because they have seen the light. Hallelujah. They have seen the light. The glory of God that was radiant in Jesus Christ is on their inside. Jesus Christ begins his ministry and begins to declare that he is the light. The light begins to declare that he is the light. Hallelujah. In John chapter 8 verse 12, we find him. This is after, you know, the woman, the adulterous woman has been caught in the act and they have brought him to her to Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ looks around because everybody had run away after he started writing on the ground. I suppose whatever he was writing on the ground pertained to every one of them. Everyone began to see their own sin and they had to take away, you know, to take off. And then he looks at the woman and says, where are your choosers, woman? They had gone. He said, go sin no more. Then after that, Jesus began to speak. The Bible says, again, he spoke to them saying, I am. These are one of the I am statements of Jesus Christ, the Son of the Living. He says, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Hallelujah. Whoever follows me, to qualify to have that life, that light in you, you need to follow him. You need to be a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I am the light of the world. I have come to dispel the darkness in the world. That's what he's saying. Hallelujah. In John chapter 9, we see him encountering a young man who was born blind. You know, the disciples are beginning to ask him, who sinned? Is it the young man? Is it the father? Is it the mother? Who sinned that he was born blind? Because they believed in those days that for you to be born, you know, disabled or misfortune, somebody must have sinned somewhere. You see, some people are looking for a reason why you are going through what you are going through right now. So did she sin? What did he do? You don't have to have done anything for you to go through what you are going through. Jesus Christ tells them, no, none of them sinned. But this happened, that the glory of God, the kabod of God, may be made manifest. That the works of God may be displayed. The light of God may be displayed. Hallelujah. In verse 5, he makes a clear statement. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Wow. As long as I am in the world, I am what? I am the light of the world. Wow. John chapter 12, verse 46. He says, I have come into the world as light. I came as what? I have come as light. To set things in order. The chaotic world, the chaotic things around you, have come to set them in order by bringing light, by becoming, I have come into the world as light, so that whoever does what believes in me may not remain in darkness. Do you believe in him? If you believe in him, you cannot be in darkness. Cannot be in darkness. Can't believe in him. Can't believe in the light and be in darkness. No. If you haven't believed in him this afternoon, you need to. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. I came into the world as a light. Hallelujah. Then as he progresses in his ministry, he begins to change the message and says, you know what? Now, because you have been with me, speaking to his disciples, now you are the light. I came as light, but now you are the light. In other words, he came as a torch. You know? So have you ever seen people with candles? People with candles, they need one main candle. Just need one main candle. One candle can light thousands upon thousands upon thousands of light. Just one candle. You need one source, and he is the source. He says, I have come as a source, and now I have lit you up. Therefore, from now onwards, you are the light. Hallelujah. Thank God he lit us up in the name of Jesus. Are you lit up this afternoon? Are you lit up for him? Oh, man, if you're not lit up, you need to present your candle. Ah, man, present your candle right now that he may light it in the name of Jesus Christ. I am the light. I came as the light, but now you are the light. Hallelujah. I have come to pass on the light. I've come to multiply the light. Hallelujah. That's why he came. That you and I may be the light. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. This is what he says. Listen. Listen. He says, you know, now he changes. He says, you are the light of the world. Wow. You, yes, you. I am the source. But from now on, you are the light of the world. It says a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. If you are on fire, if you are lit up by Christ, you cannot be hidden. Everyone will see, and oh my God, there is light in this guy. You know why? Because people will begin to wonder what happened to you. Most people know you, you know. They know your past, they know your old self. But these days they begin to wonder what happened to sister so and so. What happened to so and so? Because there's something that has happened. You met the light. And the light set you alight. Hey. And then it says, neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. And it gives light to everyone in the house. It says, in the same manner, in the same way, let your light shine. Child of God, where is your light? Is it under the bushel? Get it out and let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Shine at your place of work. Shine in your family. Shine wherever you go. Let that light shine before men, he says, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. When that light is upon a man, people begin to see good deeds. And when they see good deeds, they don't praise the person who's doing the good deeds. They praise the person who changed them, the person who lit them. Hallelujah. Are you lit this afternoon? And Paul the apostle begins to preach this. He says, For what we preach is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves your servants of Jesus, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts. He made his light shine in our hearts. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. He made that light to shine. Nobody can shine on their own with the glory of God. He has got to make it shine. You've got to allow him to make it shine. Hallelujah. And that's why, my friend, the people did not like Jesus Christ. Even up until now, people do not like Jesus Christ. People do not like Christianity. You know, because the darkness does not like light. He came to turn around, you know, the status quo. The darkness, people were enjoying the darkness. But he came to bring light. He came to put the right, to put the world the right side up. Hallelujah. John says about this in 19:21. John 3:19-21. John chapter 3, verse 19 to 21. John is speaking about Jesus. He says, "The light has come into the world." The light has come into the world. But men loved darkness instead of light. Men loved darkness instead of what? Of light. Because their works were evil. Even up until now, they hate the light. Because their works are what? They are evil. So everyone who does evil hates the light. If you're doing evil, that means you are in enmity with the light. And will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. Not through them. Through the light. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can assure you that that's why Jesus Christ, that's why the apostle writes that we need to put on the armor of light. Because it's not going to be plain and simple. You're going to be fighting. It's a battle out there. Shining is not easy. Because the light is in constant contention with the darkness. That's why Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 and says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might." How? Putting on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the schemes of the devil. The devil, the angel of darkness, the father of darkness, is not asleep. He's still fighting. Verse 12, it says, "For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness." Spiritual hosts who are prevailing over this darkness. Those are the ones that we are at work right now fighting with. Hallelujah. And verse 13 says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm." You cannot stand firm without the armor of God. And in Romans chapter 13, verse 11, he begins to tell us and give us another armor. Romans 13, 11 to 14. He says, verse 11. Romans 13, 11. He says, "Besides this, you know that the time You know the time, that the hour has come for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we first believed. The night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then, let's cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let's walk properly, as in the daytime, not in orgies or dark or drunkenness or in sexual immorality and sensuality, not in quarreling or jealousy, but put on the Lord Jesus and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. He says, know the time. Verse 11, know the time. Do you know what time it is in the kingdom? Do you know what time it is in the spirit? Understand and know the present times. Know the season. The season is not one where we need to be in slumber right now, Christians. We need to be praying like crazy. We need to be awake. Darkness is fighting tooth and nail to blow away that light. Paul was not referring to a time in general, but he was referring to the end time. He was referring to the end time and the imminent return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, we are living in the end time. In the end time. And this time, therefore, calls for spiritual vigilance and seriousness. That's what he was saying. Wake up and be serious. Do not play around with that salvation, my friend. Wake up and be serious. Be vigilant. Be vigilant. Be on the lookout. Get out of that sleep. Get out of that stupor. That's what he says. Why? 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 Because he says salvation is near. Our salvation is more nearer than when we believed. Our salvation is nearer to us now than when we believed. The signs are telling. When you look around, look at what we are going through. These are not normal times. Luke chapter 21, verse 25 to 28. Jesus begins to speak about these signs. And he says, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars. And on the earth, distress of nations. There will be distress of nations. You can already see that. All over the place is distress or distress of nations. With perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. In recent history, I've seen how many, you know, tsunamis, you've seen how many hurricanes hit countries all over, left, center, and right. So the shaking of the powers of the heavens will be, shaking of the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then verse 27 says, then you will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with the power and great glory. In verse 28, he says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. When they begin to happen, that is a time not to sleep. It's a time to be vigilant, because you don't want to be caught unawares. That's why he says, therefore, wake up from your sleep. Wake up, O slumberer, wake up. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 34, Paul speaks to the Corinthians and says, wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right. And do not go on sinning. If you go on sinning, that means you are drunk. Drunk on stuff. Drunk on the passions of the flesh. He writes to the Ephesians in chapter 5, verse 4. He says, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When you arise, get out of the sin. Christ, the light, begins to shine on you. Hallelujah. Let us be different as Christians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 says, so then let us not sleep. We cannot sleep like every other person. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6. Let us not sleep as others do. As others do what? As others do. But let us keep awake and be sober. To keep this light, my friend, you need to be sober. Because the darkness is looking for how to do a repeat of Genesis 3. That's why Paul says Peter writes and says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, he says, you're talking about being vigilant. First Peter chapter 5, verse 8. It says, be sober-minded. You cannot be drunk. I used to be a drunkard, you know. So I know what it means to be drunk. When you are drunk, you're not in your right senses. You can't be in your right senses when you're drunk. You're not in charge. Something else is in charge. So he says, you know what? Awaken from the drunken stupor and be in charge. Be sober-minded. Be watchful. Be vigilant. This light, you've got to fight for this light, my friend. The light, you've got to fight for it. Be vigilant. Why? Because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. He's seeking for someone to devour. That's what he was doing in the Garden of Eden. He came looking for somebody to devour. And he found people who had let down their guards, who were not watchful, who were not vigilant. We cannot repeat that. We've got to be what? Vigilant, watchful, sober-minded. You cannot be drunk on these things that are going around. That, the devil knows how to throw them around. He will throw the fruits around. Throw the fruits around like he threw them up in the Garden of Eden. There were many trees in the Garden of Eden. Many trees. But he made sure that he draws the attention to this one, which they had been told not to even get near. You understand, friend? You've got to be watchful. Get up. There's a call to action here. This is what Paul, we're going back into, let's go back into Romans chapter 13. There's a call to action. A call to action. In verse 12 of chapter 13, Romans, he says, So, let us walk properly as in daytime. It says, cast off, put aside, remove a garment of the works of darkness, to put them aside. Verse 12. So then let us cast off the works of darkness. Cast them off. It's like you're putting them on as a garment. It's time to remove that garment. That garment is not yours. That garment was not made by God. Get it off. Cast it off. Put it aside. Colossians chapter 3 verse 5 says, put to death therefore what is earthly in you. What is earthly in you? In other words, God wants you to put on the heavenly, even when you are still here. Put on the heavenly. Hallelujah. Put to death. Colossians chapter 3. He uses some serious word. Put to death. Kill them. Kill them. Not people, but kill these habits, these passions. Kill them. Sexual immorality is rampant. Kill it. Impurity. Kill it. That's darkness. Passion, evil desire, covetousness. Kill it. He says that's idolatry. And he says on verse 6, on account of this, the wrath of God is coming. On account of this, the wrath of God is coming. He says in verse 7, in these you too once walked. You know, you once walked in these things when you were living in them. But now you cannot continue in that. He says in verse 8, but now you must put them all away. Cast them away. He begins to mention them, anger. Anger. Some of you are so angry. Even right now you are angry. Angry at the birds, angry at everything that passes you, but angry. You enter the bus, you are angry. Have you ever seen? You enter a train and everybody is angry. Wrath, malice, slander. Slanderers. Some of us can never talk about anything except people. That's the work of darkness. That's not from the light. Obscene talk. How can you talk obscene? How can some words, if you listen to the words that are coming out of some of your mouths, you'll be shocked. Obscene talk from your mouth. He said, do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self. Put off the old self, which with its practices, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. That was Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. So we go back to Romans chapter 13. We'll keep doing that and this. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Romans chapter 13 verse 12. What does he say? Romans 13, 12. He said, so cast out, cast away, cast off the works of darkness, which we have just mentioned in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5. He also mentioned some of them. Cast that garment away and do and replace it with what? With the armor of light. 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 He's not talking about a tuxedo. He's not talking about a suit. He's not talking about that cute dress of yours which you bought £2,000. No. He's talking about an armor. Why an armor? Because people do not put on armors going to weddings. People do not put on armors going to their office. You put on an armor when you are going where? To a battlefront. He said, put on the armor of light because there is something that is coming to quench the light. It's something that's coming after you. You have got to put on the armor of light, being prepared to fight. It speaks of spiritual warfare. Hallelujah. It's not a time to eat and drink. The Bible says the kingdom of God is not just eating and drinking. Go to fight. Put on the armor of light. Cast off all these other things, the old self, the old garment. Put on the armor of light. Because it's spiritual warfare, my friend. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3. Paul speaks about this warfare. And he says, For though we are in the flesh, we are not waging war according to the flesh. No. Brother, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh. We are talking about the armor of light. The armor of light is not something. I don't know which shop you can go to and find it. It's only found in the spirit. It's a spiritual thing. It's a spiritual garment. For the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but they are divine. They are divine. They have divine power to destroy strongholds. Hallelujah. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God. And we take every thought captive to obey Christ. We take every what? Thought. Every thought. Every thought. Every thought. I don't know what you are thinking. I don't know what you have been thinking lately. But if the thoughts that you've been thinking are in disobedience with Christ, then darkness has crept in. Cast it out and put on the armor of light so that those thoughts do not have anywhere to pass. They have no access to you. Then he says in verse 13, let us walk properly. Let us walk what? Properly. As in the day. Not in orgies. And drunkenness. Not in sexual immorality and sensuality. Not in quarreling. Quarreling. And jealousy. But then he says, instead of all that, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, put on light. Put on what? Light. Put on Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3 verse 27 says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you were baptized into Christ, you were put on Christ. Put on what? Christ, the Lord Jesus. When you put on Jesus Christ, then you are putting on a new self. You're putting on a new self. The old is gone. Put on the new self, which is created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. That's why he's saying put on Christ. The moment you put on Christ, then you cannot make any provision for the flesh. The flesh will talk, the flesh will ask, the flesh will crave, but because you have the armor of light, it will not win. It will not win the cravings of the flesh. Do not give them room so that you can gratify them. The cravings are there. They will come. But the key, or the difference between one who lives in the light and one who lives in the dark, is whether they will go ahead to gratify them. What have you been gratifying lately? Galatians chapter 3, verse 16 to 17, he says, but I say, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. People who are in the light, they walk in the Spirit. If you have got the armor of light around you, you will walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. You will not do what? Gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, he says. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed one another. That's why I said it's a battle. It's a battle between the flesh. You are in the flesh, yes. Remember, you are still in the flesh. Though you are a spirit, you are still in the flesh. So you need to have the armor of light upon you so that darkness does not creep into you. By you allowing the flesh and its desires to take over. That's why he says you have to be sober. You have to be sober-minded, so that the desires are not taking over. The appetites of the flesh are not taking over. The cravings of the flesh are not taking over. He says, the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things that you want to do. Hallelujah. As we finish, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, Peter says, beloved, I urge you as sojourners. Remember, you are just passing through. This is not your home. I don't care whether you have indefinite leave, whether you are British, whether you are English. I don't care who you are. You are just a sojourner here. The time will come when you will be flushed, when you will go home. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh. To do what? Abstain from the passions of the flesh, which wage war against your soul. The passions of the flesh are waging war against your soul, and the only way to win that battle is to have the armor of light on you. Therefore, this evening, this afternoon, we are going to cast off every work of darkness. Cast off sexual immorality. Cast off impurity, those passions. That hatred. Somebody here has got too much hatred. Hatred, hatred, hatred. You hate people. You hate your brother. You hate everybody. Bible says in 1 John chapter 2, verse 10 to 11, says, whoever loves his brother abides in the light. Love, love, love. We need love. We need some love. We need some love. Whoever loves his brother does what? Abides in the light, and in him there is no cause for stumbling. Verse 11, but whoever hates his brother is in the darkness and walks in the darkness and does not know where he's going, because the darkness has blinded his eyes. Hatred. Get rid of them. Get rid of all these things. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 says, get rid of all bitterness. Get rid of all bitterness. Somebody, you are bitter. Bitter because of somebody, bitter because of some people. You are so bitter, you have become bitterness yourself. Get rid of it. Get rid of rage. Get rid of anger. Get rid of slander. And then it says in verse 32, be tender, be kind and tender-hearted to one another. That is light. Be kind and tender-hearted to one another. That is light. That's light. Forgiving each other. Forgive. Come on, somebody, just forgive. I beg you this afternoon, just forgive. Turn a new page, forgive. They wronged you, yes. They stepped on your toes, yes. They stole your money, yes. They abused you, yes. They slandered you, yes. They did them. But forgive them. And he says, forgive them just as Christ forgives you. A person of light is a man and a woman of forgiveness. A man of love. Forgive them. It's not worth it carrying them around you like an albatross around your neck. Release them. Those are works of darkness. Walk in the light, in the name above every name. This is what you're going to do from now henceforth, from now continuing. You're going every morning, you're going to wake up every morning before you walk out of your front door. Find a place and a square to sit. Sit down and engage in mental or spiritual prayer. Engage in meditation. After you put on that cute dress, after you put on that cute suit, you need to put on the armor of light, the spiritual armor of light. Put on Christ the light. Because you know that where you are going out, the darkness is waiting to fight and wage war. Make no room for passions of the flesh, because they will be there. Things will be, many things will be fighting for your attention. The moment you walk out, the first, even on your phone, things are fighting for your attention. You are looking, you want to see a message. The moment you open, there's a message. There's something that is trying to entice you to buy it. You know, some of you buy things that you didn't even plan to buy. Put on the armor of light. And you will shine in the darkness wherever you go. And the darkness will not comprehend you. Hallelujah. Do you know why? It's because it's not you shining. It's Jesus Christ shining in you. As long as you have put him on as the armor. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 to 7, he says, this message we have heard from him and we declare it to you. As I declare it to you, God is light. And in him, there is no darkness at all. If you are in God, there should be no darkness in you at all. It says, if we claim that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and would not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins. Walk in the light. Put on the armor of light, and you will conquer in this dark world. May God bless you. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and say, I want this light in my life, receive it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Receive that light right now. Let him shine in that darkness in the name of Jesus. Let him shine through you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you so much for listening to this sermon, and I know you've been blessed. For more information about Shiloh Tabernacle and other sermons, please visit our website, www.shiloh.org.uk. And don't forget to follow us on all our social media platforms, Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, at Shiloh LDN. Once again, that's at Shiloh LDN. You've been listening to Shiloh Tabernacle London, changing lives, building dreams. Until next time,